This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
When I visited Indonesian Papua, or formerly known as Irian Jaya, 5 years ago, the first thing that I noticed was the overwhelming presence of the Indonesian military in every aspect of Papuan life. And from time to time, the simmering tension between the indigenous Papuans and the military boils over. Well, it's been fairly common knowledge that the Indonesian military uses torture in Papua, particularly to interrogate or punish those who are suspected of being associated with the Free Papua movement. However, a disturbing new video, which you can see on YouTube and has been shown a bit on the news, shows a naked man screaming in agony as his interrogators poke him in the genitals with a fiery stick. And this is just happening a few hundred kilometres from our northern border. Professor Peter King is from the West Papua Project at the Centre for Peace and Conflict Studies at Sydney Uni. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Katrina.
Have you seen the footage of this torture going on?
Yes, I have, and I think it was, according to the SBS people that interviewed me yesterday, it was taken down on YouTube, but you can find it in other places if it's not on YouTube.
I think some news services have it, and they've just kind of blacked out. Maybe some of they've made it a bit fuzzy so that it's not quite so detailed. But from the footage, are there clues that the men who are doing the torture are from the Indonesian military?
Yes, it's pretty clear that they're from a unit of COSTRAD, the Army Strategic Command, the so-called inorganic forces, which the Papuans are particularly keen to get rid of. The other inorganic force is COPASIS.
When you say inorganic, what do you mean by that?
It means they're not, they don't have a territorial base in Papua. They're free to roam pretty much wherever they like. They've got bases, all right, but they're not like regular battalions. They've actually stayed forever. They've actually been there in one form or another since the 60s. Ordinary army battalions are rotated in and out of Papua. COPASIS and COSTRAD are there forever.
So they're the hardcore
troops. And they're the ones that lead that have the political mission to spy on the population and the guerrillas to try to get rid of the so-called separatist movement, the independence movement. Of course, they've in fact made it stronger.
Yeah, well, how common are instances of torture in Papua? Is it still sort of a thing that goes on?
It's routine. It's routine because the Indonesian army has missed out on the reform that has taken place in politics and to some extent in the economy. It's missed out on that pretty much completely. And you still have this impunity where almost nobody gets punished for anything, and the punishments are a sort of joke. Very short prison terms and prison terms served in conditions approaching luxury, and then promotions afterwards. So they're basically the army and the police also. It applies to the police, even though they're now separate from the army. There's just complete impunity in Papua. It's not so bad anywhere else, not even in Aceh now, but in Papua it's terrible. And the population can have no expectation of anything, any justice from either from the police and the military, or by and large from the courts either. The courts are pretty much in league with the government and the military.
What would it take to change that culture of impunity? Like, what could be done to make the Indonesian military more accountable?
Well, a good start would be to get the army out of Papua, get all the army, not just the COSTRAD and COPASIS, out of Papua, which is what the Papuans are calling for. A second step would be to negotiate, at the minimum, a deal like the Acehese now have, a very special kind of autonomy deal where the Papuans are treated as a serious negotiating partner and don't just have Jakarta's preferred arrangements imposed on them.
Mm-hmm. Peter, why are the Papuan people so alienated from the Indonesian administration? Obviously, torture doesn't help, but what else is going on that's caused them to be so unhappy with the situation?
It's really what's gone on, Katrina, going right back to the 60s when the Papuans had high expectations of achieving independence under the Dutch. Because the Dutch hung on in Papua after they'd conceded independence to the rest of Indonesia in 49. There was not just a nationalist movement, there was a sort of Papuan government emerging with Dutch blessing. And that was all arrested by the New York Agreement in 1962, which between the Americans and the Dutch, the Indonesians and the Dutch, the Papuans were left completely out of that. And they've been alienated ever since. They had Indonesian rule from 63. They had their act of no choice, or act of free choice, as it was called, but for them, there was no choice in 69. And the resistance has been there ever since. It's probably as strong as it ever was right now because they're pretty much all the Papuans are mobilised against the special autonomy deal. They just want to give it back to Jakarta, get rid of it, just refuse to cooperate with the arrangements that were imposed on them 10 years ago
yeah.
under special autonomy.
Peter, if there's such strong evidence of Papuans being, you know, tortured, as we've seen it on video now, so we know it's true, then why is the international community so completely ambivalent about the situation there?
Well, the Act of Free Choice got a sort of blessing from the United Nations in 69. And in any case, back in the early 60s, the Americans had made the decision that they had to work with the army to overthrow the government of Sukarno back in 65. So the military has been in power, basically, in Papua ever since the Sukarno period and since 63. And the Indonesians just don't want to give up. Not only do they think that they were entitled to inherit everything the Dutch controlled in the East Indies, but they also thought they had the blessing of the UN and certainly the Americans. And they've felt that their legitimacy in Papua is complete, it's total, because of their own independence struggle and Papua just being seen as part of that. So it's very hard to turn the Indonesians around on the whole issue of whether Papuans are entitled to self-determination. But it should be possible to turn them around to acknowledge the injustices that have been done to the Papuans since Indonesian occupation.
Well, that's right. No matter what you think about independence, you know, there's still international human rights for people not to be tortured.
That's right. It'd be good for the Indonesians themselves to get out of Papua because the army just runs rampant there and there won't be proper military reform until the military's out of Papua, actually. It's in Indonesia's interest. I mean, they would lose a source of valuable raw materials, and it's 25% of their land area. But the situation is so toxic now, as it was in Timor, as it became in Timor in the late 90s, that really for Indonesia itself, if democratic reform is really going to work and stick, they'd be better off out of Papua.
Okay. Well, thanks for talking to me this morning, Professor Peter King.
Fine, Katrina.
So that's Professor Peter King. He's a professor and research associate at the West Papua Project at the Centre for Peace and Conflict Studies. It's part of Sydney Uni.
This has been a Hope 103.2 podcast. For helpful articles, station news, videos, devotional emails and more podcasts, visit hope1032.com.au.